What's happening, fourth hour? Hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio is upon you, upon us. Blessed to bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. I used them. You should use them, too. Tell them that you want the LiftMaster that they put in J Mart's house. They'll get it done for you. Mm-hmm. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com. John Glennon, Sports Illustrated, coming up. See how many calls we can get through here. We're going to do the same thing we did in the last hour, where we're going to have Glennon come at the bottom so that we can have as many of the callers come through as necessary, because today's been a reaction day. We've had a lot to say. If you missed any part of this show, today's the day to podcast if you can stomach what we have to talk about. Titans lose 19-16. Comparison I made off the top of the show was that Ryan Tannehill is Alex Smith. And the difference between the Chiefs with Alex Smith and the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes a year later was 1,000 yards and about 23 touchdowns, because you went from 26-5 to 50-12, touchdown to interception. Alex Smith was good, but he wasn't a difference maker. And Alex Smith was a guy who had lost the starting gig after being a number one pick in San Francisco, lost it to Kaepernick, moved on, went to Kansas City with Andy Reid, a good play caller, was successful there, but once they got Mahomes, they sat him for a year, and then it was Mahomes' job. And we've seen what's happened since. 4 consecutive AFC championship games, possibly 3 Super Bowls. That's what a difference maker at quarterback is.
Yeah.
If Ryan Tannehill is Alex Smith, that doesn't mean he's a scrub. It just means you still got to find a Mahomes. You still got to find a Josh Allen, a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow, a difference maker, somebody that really moves the needle at the quarterback spot, a Matthew Stafford to upgrade a Jared Goff, something like that. The problem is $57.4 million. And I don't see the suitor out there that's going to go try to make this happen for you. That's the issue. Let's go to Brian in Jackson. Brian, what's up?
What's up, Brian?
What's up, fellas?
Morning.
Man, I'm a long time listener, first time getting through, man. I got a lot of points I want to touch on, but I'm gonna try to get through it. But the first play of the game, why you try to get it cute?
Yep.
Be a running team. Don't, and then, like, if you're gonna do a play action pass, go deep. You know what I'm saying? It just makes me mad, man. And then this Downing dude. Ryan Tannehill, like, never threw this many interceptions as he did this year. Where's Arthur Smith when you need him? Please, can we get him back from the ATL? I mean, can somebody call somebody or do something? But then everybody that's calling in and ragging on Tannehill, look, y'all, we got this dude for 2 more years. I don't know if he's listened to the show. Somebody he knows listened to the show. And to get back to his head, don't, you know, it's not all Tannehill's fault. It was horrible play calling. I don't know what was going on.
Well, I mean, sorry, Brian, just so we can keep rolling through the calls. I know you had a bunch of points, but a lot of it is on the quarterback. And a lot of it is on the offensive coordinator. Kevin in the Borough. Kevin, what's up?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. We're all right. How are you?
Pretty good. I just got a quick point to make. You know, and after the game was over, when Vrabel said, you know, the guy that pulls the trigger gets the blame. And most of the time you wouldn't, you know, I agree with that, you know, that it's like, okay, trying to pass off on Ryan Tannehill. And most of the time people have defended Ryan Tannehill. But I was talking to a fan the other day, and I said, he's like, you know, talking about Ryan Tannehill and, you know, well, team. And I said, well, okay, let me ask you this. Do they have a good running team? Yeah. Are they good in defense? Yeah. Do they have a good passing? I mean, are they good? Do they have a good punter? Yeah. Do they have good receivers? Yeah. Then why did we lose?
Mm.
Because he threw three interceptions in the game. We lost by 3. And if you think about it, he's thrown 18 interceptions and 23 touchdowns this year. He's also fumbled 4 times. He's turned the ball over more than he's thrown touchdowns. I'll hang up and listen to you guys, but, you know, I just – I guess I'm seconding everything else that everybody says, but it seems obvious.
Well, he's definitely had a tougher year than last year, Ron.
I'll say this too, just to give some perspective on how you just got to dig your claws into Ryan for at least 1 more year. According to SpotTrack, his cap hit for 2022 is ranked fifth behind Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Deshaun Watson. His total cash, I guess the amount of base salary he's getting paid, is also fifth, with 29 behind Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. And his base salary is actually ranked third as far as what's being paid out behind Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and then this Ryan Tannehill. You're locked in.
Yeah, he's here next year. I don't see it.
Who was it in Memphis that said a second ago?
Mario.
Unless you do give up some ones, some twos, some threes in the draft, make it worth somebody's while.
Imagine having to do that. Because there's some needs this team has. They need their firsts. And they need to hit on them as well. Let's go to JD in Texas next. JD, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing this
good,
morning?
Good, good morning.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think a team goes only as far as the head coach's philosophy. Look, Ryan Tannehill, we've heard it all day, gave up the ball the whole dang game. However, how many times have you guys heard Vrabel, whether it be a win or a loss, at the post-game presser say, well, we want to play it close, keep it close, play good defense, you know, play the position game and win it at the end. I was a fan of this team when the tight spiral spinning gold jacket wearing Warren Moon was the quarterback. I miss those days, man. I mean, I love Derrick Henry, but how can Ryan Tannehill feel when your number one player goes down and they're like, nope, we're still running the ball 35 times a game. I'm not saying he's the guy, but I am saying how much confidence does that show when you have a head coach whose philosophy is ground and pound, play great defense and field position. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And well, it's the one team in the league that does that.
Yeah.
The one team.
And it works if you're on schedule. Start off the game with a pick, then come back, think 2-3 yards on the next run and stuff like that. It works when you're on schedule. This weekend you weren't on schedule much at all.
Steve in Franklin. Steve, what's up?
Hey guys, love the show. I love the game, man. I record these games. I watch them a couple times afterwards. And let me start. I know you got a lot of callers, so let me go quick. Here's some stats that'll add some levity. Tom Brady. I'm not comparing Tom Brady to Ryan Tannehill, but stat. Tom Brady has a record of 3-1 in playoff games where he's thrown 3 interceptions. Yes, that's right. Tom Brady has thrown 3 interceptions in 4 different playoff games. They won. Why? Coaching. Tom Brady has thrown 4 interceptions in 6 games in his career. He's still the GOAT. Why? Because he's great and great coaching. The Rams yesterday had 4 turnovers and they still won. Why? Great offensive coaching. So what's going on with the Titans? Ryan Tannehill can't go from being the third-ranked quarterback in the NFL 2 years in a row, comeback player of the year, and then just all of a sudden suck without problems with offensive theology. And I mean, I wish Todd Downing the very best. I hope he can go back to doing what he was doing before. But that guy's got to go. Ryan Tannehill may not be elite, but he's more than good enough to win this team a Super Bowl. And Todd Downing's got to go. So I hope that'll happen, and I wish the best for him. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll listen to the show.
Sure, appreciate it, Steve. Thank you. I don't think Ryan Tannehill was ever number 3. Not in my list, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was about 10th. I'm sure it was yards or there was some stat. I'm
I think
sure
it was those stat lines that came out, yeah.
I don't think anybody would believe he was number 3 in a league that still had Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes. Right there, he's 4. And I just did that off the top of my head. And the stuff you're talking about, Breeze is still playing, Rivers is still playing. There's a lot of guys. Tannehill, everything's got to be right around Ryan Tannehill for him to win you a Super Bowl.
Same way with Joe Flacco was.
Exactly right. 615-737-1045. Kelvin, Roger, Will, Reggie, Marcy, Coach B. My goodness. We'll be right back. Jay Martin DeMone, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin DeMone, 104.5 The Zone. I don't. I'm not going to read Bill Barnwell's.
Well, wait.
I was reading it during a break.
Too painful.
It's 10 takeaways from the weekend, and maybe later in the week.
We got to build up to it.
Yeah, it's no, a little raw.
For real.
It's today's not the day. Coach B, B, what's going on?
What's up, Coach B?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Look here. I'm going to try to go quick. So listen up. All right. The Derrick Henry and Foreman comparison, we shouldn't even be talking about that, man. Y'all seen the same game I see. We know who lost that game. And from this point forward, we're going to treat dude like Harry Potter. We can't even say his name. But my question is, I give him the first two interceptions. I give him that. Even though they were bad, I give him that. But that last one, A.J. Brown got, what, 5 catches for 142, whatever he had. I don't remember Westbrook or Keener catching a pass during the game or even being targeted. I'm not tripping off the play call. I'm putting this on who we can't say his name. Why you try to throw it in the triple coverage?
Oh.
He's looking dead at the dude. There's 3 dudes right there. The guy that was guarding Westbrook, the Keener, had his arm draped around him. The coverage was so tight, and he still tried to throw it to him. That's decision making. It ain't on the OC. It ain't on Vrabel. It ain't on the running backs. This is on he who we can't say his name. His decision making when it comes to big games and big time is horrible. It is horrible. He's been a choke artist. He's been that way. He's just showing you who he's been. They paid that man all that money knowing that this is who he was. I don't even know why we acting surprised. It's, man, this dude got some terrible decision-making. And if I was John Robinson, man, I'd give up daggum to everything and trade for Russell Wilson or Rodgers. I'll figure something out. If the Rams can do it, then daggum, we can do it.
Okay. The reason you didn't remember Westbrook Akina having a target is because he didn't have one until that play. I will say this, though. Y'all loved NWI during the season, and he made plays. It's not like he's not capable of making a play. I don't fault him for looking at NWI. I heard the argument. I even heard Blaine say this Saturday night. You got AJ and Julio. You got to find a way to throw it to them. It's like, well, if they're covered, they're covered. It's just like, you still throw it to them. Okay. I think it's a terrible decision on the play, but it's not like NWI wasn't there for you during the season. He was one of the healthiest dudes you had on the roster as a wide receiver.
He was.
And he made plays. I'm not as upset that you tried to throw to NWI as that you threw the way you threw. And that was stiff for Ryan Tannehill.
Especially going back looking at the replay of it when you had 2 open guys. I think Fursa could have got you 4 of the 5 and went for it on 4th down.
Fursa was in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
0 receptions, 1 target. Marcy in Antioch is next. Marcy, what's up?
Morning, Marcy.
Hey, good morning. I am like the majority of your callers. My heart was just broken. It just really was. And I'm going to kind of do it real quick. Okay, so I'm a Vol for life. That's with me forever, so I'm going to say that up front. My team is the Titans. My second team, this is how I got busted down just completely to the bricks, to the ground. Mm. My second team is Green Bay. So imagine me, I got two teams that hold their fate, playing in their own place. And both of them went down the drain. But Titans hurt me because this is the thing. You can't be a fair weather fan. You either all in or you not really there. And so we do what fans do. We buy tickets. We brave the weather. We buy jerseys. We wear jerseys. We take the disrespect. We're expecting certain, and we know we're not going to get the respect. But then when we see this, and we got questions that just kill us, like, 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 and just the non-decision making and some of the decision making and just the questioning. I expected better. To get this far, I expected better. If the fans are going to be the extra player on the field, you're at home. You're not playing away. if your fans are there for you, being the extra player for you, to cheer you on, to give you energy, even when you may not have it, to us first, to infuse you with energy. And then this is what we get. Titans, you got to figure it out. You got to do better. Come on, y'all. Like, tighten up. Like, we're saying it to them. Tighten up. Do what you got to do to tighten this up and do better. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Marcy. Next caller, Jay.
Roger in Kentucky. Roger, what's up?
Yeah, everybody's blaming Tanner Hill for this, but I want to know. I blame it on Grable, because why would you go for 2 points when you only need one on that first touchdown? If they had went for one, Tannehill wouldn't have thrown that third interception. They would have run the clock out. So I blame it on Grable, the coaches.
Roger, I disagree with the decision, go for two. I know what analytics says. I know you're on the 1 yard line and you're the best first down goal line offense in the NFL. But you couldn't get a yard 3 different times. I heard Mickey Ryan say that on Saturday night. He's absolutely right. 3 times you couldn't get 1 yard. Third down, fourth down, and that play. You chase that point for the rest of the game. Now, everything changes. If you go up 7-6, everything that happened after that's not the same. So it's not you running out the clock at the end of the game, because you don't know what happens at 7-6. But you had a chance to take the lead. It's not like you needed to go up by 2 points. Go 8-6. Like, I what I didn't understand is what the point of that was. It's just like, just go ahead and kick the extra point. Bullock is pretty much automatic inside 45. Just go ahead and give him the extra point. I know I think he missed one in the last couple of weeks or something, but you go up 7-6, you just take the lead. You want your crowd to see that. You want your team to feel, yeah, we got the lead. I would not have done that. I understand those that would push back against that, but I was not the biggest fan of that decision. Will in Green Hills next. Will, what's up?
What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're all right, man. How you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm going to start out on a positive note. Man, our defense is spectacular. I was so proud of those front linemen. I mean, it was unbelievable what they did. So that's my positive note. My question is, it must really be hard to be an offensive coordinator, because to me, it seems like I could put a list of 10 plays together, not necessarily trick plays, but some plays with some imagination. 10 of them, just 10 of them that you run on third down and fourth down, instead of just crowding the line and trying to run it up the gut. I mean, is it that hard? That's my question. Is it that hard to have 10 plays? I think back to the Boise State Oklahoma game. The guy beat Oklahoma on 2 plays that had some imagination. Why can't offensive coordinators do that? And that's my question. I'll hang up and listen. Bye.
It's the ebb and flow of a game. I brought this up to you on the break, Jay. You know, it's a hypothetical question about what did you think Downing and this offensive plan was going into this weekend. Now, this is me assuming something or just talking through this, okay? It's not what I'm saying is definite.
Right.
I asked you, I was like, do you think that they went into this game saying Derek is going to take us? And because Derek is the break glass in case of emergency, he's going to take us. The same disrespect that this fan base feel about national coverage, Cincinnati felt the same way. We had Rocky Boyman on. He was like, what? The Titans feel disrespected? DJ Reader said he what? Said
it. He I've said got it in front of me. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
So because of that leaning of on Derek, I think that's where it bothers me as far as the plan for this week. Like, was there an air attack that was actually planned? I forget who was it that called in Jackson a little bit ago. That first play of the game, I'm taking the top off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going vertical on those play actions. Like, I'm going vertical.
DJ Reader said he felt like Cincinnati was getting disrespected by pundits all season, including big time last week. The whole defense felt this way. Questions about the team's ability to stop Derrick Henry. The quote was, we were getting tired of hearing about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting tired of hearing that we had no chance against Derrick Henry. Turns out you guys did.
So to our last caller's point about, you know, is it hard being an OC? You really got to fully think it all the way through as far as your plan. After the first 10 plays are off the script,
yeah.
Okay, now your job. Do your job now.
Yeah. Kyle, Terry, Ethan, Reggie, Darrington, my goodness. There's so many calls. We will get to you. We'll do our best at least. John Glennon, though, from Sports Illustrated on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Glenno, how are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you guys doing? There's a lot of heat in there this morning.
Dude,
yeah.
We could do this all day, and there would be people calling all day. This is as much reaction as we've ever seen, as I've seen in 9 years. It's incredible. So without even asking any specific question to lead off, just tell us how you felt watching that Saturday night. What are your main takeaways?
I think as far as the Titans are concerned, I think there was certainly a sense of, you know, huge disappointment. You know, it's not often you're going to have that number one seed to have that opportunity, two home wins and get in the playoffs. And the matchup, I certainly think you would enjoy playing Cincinnati better than you would have, you know, Kansas City or Buffalo in that round. So, you know, it was there for the taking is the feeling that I had for the Titans as I watched them. I couldn't shake during the game. There was a bit of a feeling, though, of almost, I don't know what the word is, dread is probably too strong, but certainly some apprehension whenever the Titans passed the ball, you know. And you just wondered, obviously, after that first pass, you know, how successful that passing game was going to be all day. And to me, that led to the fact that, you know, even that big drive, you know, where the Titans get down to the 9-yard line all on running plays.
Yeah.
And they try one pass there, right? One single pass, and it was intercepted. And people said, oh, you know, why did you pass the ball? And that's understandable, but you shouldn't feel scared if you're an offense to throw the ball one time. And I think, honestly, I think that's the way the Titans offense, you know, was for most of the game. You know, they were so concerned towards the end about getting intercepted and making mistakes in the passing game. You know, I think it really, really held them back in that game.
So I made a comparison off the start of the show, John, from Ryan Tannehill. I feel like he's Alex Smith with Kansas City. A guy that won a lot of games, had a 104 passer rating, was actually mentioned as like a borderline MVP candidate the year of 2017, had 4,000 yards, I think it was 26 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. In 2018, Patrick Mahomes took that job, had 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and they went to the AFC Championship game, which they've now done all four of the years that he's started. That, I don't know, like $57.4 million in cap and all of the things that are happening this year, all the fans that we've talked to want the guy out of here. I don't see any universe where he's not the quarterback next year. Do you?
I do not. No, I think it is just too messy of a cap situation. The amount of money they would, be stuck with by cutting Ryan Tannehill, it would be insane to try and work your budget around that. And I don't think any other teams are really going to be interested in trading for him with that cap number that he has. If you're a contending team, you've already probably got your quarterback. If you're not a team that's a contender, you're probably not going to want an older quarterback with a huge cap hit. So I think he's going to be back next year. It's a decent point, certainly, about Alex Smith. But I still wonder, you know, what we saw in 2019, especially with Ryan Tannehill, and to a lesser extent in 2020, the numbers that he put up those 2 years, you know, 55 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Those are you know, if not elite, those are right close to excellent quarterbacks, you know. And I just wonder, you know, what it was in particular this year. Is it Ryan Tannehill simply regressing? You know, was it the offensive coordinator? Did he and Todd Downing never mesh? Was it all the injuries around him? To me, certainly there were factors that contributed to Ryan Tannehill's slide, but I still say, you know, he showed us some things in 2019 and in 2020 that lead us to believe that things could end a little bit year. That's for sure. And there were so many opportunities, and here we sit nonetheless.
As far as, you know, what's next, like if you were to say a position of need going into this offseason, because the combine's right around the corner and every other thing that's on the schedule, they've already laid it out, the NFL has, like, one spot that you need a guy, and I know everybody's going to say quarterback, but where do you need a stud at next year?
I can need, well, I'll cheat a little bit, and I'll say maybe a couple here.
Okay.
I think wide receiver, as you said, you know, we talked about quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is going to be the guy almost certainly next year. So, I'm not ready to make that move. I say wide receiver. I think this team certainly needs an infusion of speed. A.J. Brown is a tremendous receiver. This team needs somebody that can kind of take that top off the defense, can scare defenses, can make them a little bit more accountable, get out of the box, open up the running game, open up lanes for A.J. Brown. So I think that's, a possibility. And then I think the offensive line, I hate to say it, but you haven't hit there with 2 years in a row. And if you can find somebody there that's going to be a real stud in terms of a right tackle, since it looks like Dylan Raidens is going to be more of a guard than is going to be a tackle, I could see them going that way as well. But to me, wide receiver or if you ever find and I haven't looked at the draft enough at this point to see where the top prospects are, but at some point I think you're going to need a dynamic tight end too. I think certainly they missed Jonnu Smith this year, and you need another threat there.
So, Jess, I guess since we're talking through this thing, I'm not sure, maybe you can give us some insight on when these votes are in, but if it's between Vrabel and Zach Taylor as far as coach of the year, I think – Zach Taylor's made a case for himself to at least steal some votes from Vrabel if it was going to him.
Yeah, I believe, I was not a voter this year, so I don't know exactly the timetables, but I believe the voting has already closed on that.
Okay.
I believe it closes after the regular season. So, that's what it's going to come down to. And really, two great cases. Cincinnati was a bad team last year, and even though you've got Joe Burrow and a ton of receivers, Zach Taylor did a great job of turning that team around, and certainly Mike Vrabel did a hell of a job with the Titans, keeping things together with Derrick Henry missing half the season and so many different injuries offensively as well. So I don't think you can go wrong. If you look at a team that more completely flipped the script, it was probably Cincinnati. But Vrabel's job was commendable, especially you also look too at what this defense was last year. And I think Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen, both need to get some credit in turning that defense around.
Yeah.
John, do you think Julio is back next year?
Another good question. That's a big cap hit, for a guy who just didn't have a lot of production and a lot of availability either. So I think it's a reasonable question to wonder whether he's back. We know how much Mike Vrabel, cares about availability, not only being out there, just on game day, but certainly, there was training camp he missed. There were so many practices he missed during the season. So, it would not stun me if he is not. That's a possibility if you're a team looking for cap, and there just wasn't the impact than what we thought was going to be.
Yeah. Also, this is something that's crept up a little bit too. Is there any understanding of an accident before the game?
Oh, Lord.
I'm not sure. I saw that floating around a little bit. Did you hear about that also?
I will have to say I did not hear about that. So I'll pass on that. I'll let you guys rumble on that one.
I was just trying to
There was a caller to talk back after the game Saturday that said something about Ryan Tannehill being in an accident that day. It didn't sound fully credible to me. And I haven't seen it spread around. I haven't seen it verified or anything like that. But, things are going to happen, and who knows, maybe that conversation happened, but the information wasn't complete or whatever. Yeah, so the Julio question is one. Another thing people have mentioned, John, is going for two. What do you think of the decision to go for two there? I know you're the best first down and goal offense in the league and all this on one play. that's probably something you can get a lot of the time, but did you agree with that, or do you kick the extra point there and go ahead and take the lead?
I'm okay with that decision, actually. I know that'll probably go against, you know, the majority there, but I think too often we also say, you know, okay, the play didn't work, so it was a bad idea to go as well. But to me, you know, the penalty moved it, you know, a yard closer. You know, you've got 36 inches to get, you know, 2 points there. You've got, you know, Derrick Henry, certainly. I'm okay with that, and I don't think the downside, honestly, was significant enough to not go for it, to not take that chance as well. You know, it's either going to be a, you know, 6-6, 7-6, or 8-6. You know, I don't think that downside was debilitating. I don't think that was the decisive factor in the game. And, again, you know, you've got Derrick Henry. You've got 36 inches to go. I think it's worth taking a shot at.
If I was just – we got to end on a high note on this. If I would just ask you for one MVP of this game for the Titans, would you vote Amani Hooker?
Or Big Jeff?
Or Jeff?
Yeah, it's hard to go against Big Jeff, I would have to say. You know, he was just a kind of that constant presence. And you know, we see Big Jeff, I think, even in these big-time games, whatever, you know, adrenaline gets going even more so in Jeff Simmons. You know, remember that Sunday night game against the Rams, you know, and these big games, he seems to take it to another level. And you know, he was constant disruption. It just blows my mind, you know, that the Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times and lost the game. I think it would have to be Jeffrey Simmons and you know, Danico Autry again,
yeah.
Not too far behind as well.
John, appreciate it, brother. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys.
Indeed, that's John Glennon, Sports Illustrated. We're going to keep talking to people, and we're going to keep talking about this all week long, obviously. 615-737-1045. If you're on hold, we're going to run through as many as we can before the end of the show. If we don't get to you today, we'll get to you tomorrow. It's Shea Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Let's see what we can get through here in this few minutes. If you're on hold, you might just hang on through Buck Rising.
Yeah,
or certainly you can give us a call tomorrow. Reggie in Nashville, what you got?
What's up, Reggie?
Hey, man, how y'all guys doing?
Good.
Give me a minute, man, so I just need to let it out. But at the end of the day, this is a business. Tannehill's decision making. He's a QB. This is a QB league. You have to be on your toes. You got to make the best decisions. That's your job. And then, you know, the Vrabel backing him up, man, you can't back him up. That's his job. Like, if you back him up, it's like you're throwing yourself in there in the water, too. Like, that, you're over saying, oh, I'm going to be at this job for a long time. You're not going to be here if you keep staying with your quarterback that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And just like the same thing with Jimmy G. Like, if he does the same thing he did with the Cowboys next week, he's going to lose the Rams. They're the same type of quarterback. I'm not sure about the cap space, but Tannehill has to go. Let's play that Forrest Gump song for Tannehill, because fly, 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 far away. That's what he needs to do, is fly, ooh, far away from here.
All right, Rich.
Oh, wow.
Ethan in Nashville. Ethan, what's up?
Hey, y'all. First of all, tighten up. And I agree that I believe that game was lost in the second quarter. But here's my take. I think that I think Zach Taylor made a business decision and intentionally put that 12th man out there to bait Vrabel into having to make that decision, because he knew he wanted to be ballsy. Well, guess what? Didn't work out, and he probably played a little more conservative for the rest of the game. You can tell me if I'm, you know, a crazy conspiracy theorist, but that's my piece.
Yeah,
well, I mean, going for two is going to be something you can second guess, because it didn't work.
Everything's up for question, man.
It no doubt is. One more. Darrington. Go ahead, Darrington.
Hey.
Savage, I know you heard this because of Cincinnati. But are you Titan fans?
I told y'all people. Y'all going to start listening to me. Y'all, when I tell you what I tell you, it's because I know. Now, I want everybody to get on Twitter and all these spaces, and I need an apology and a thank you, because you was right. Matt Ryan for quarterback next year. Kind of got no roof. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Darrington. Darrington's feeling it. Let's end on one. Let's take Kyle in Georgia. We got to do one more. Kyle, go ahead.
Come on, Kyle.
All right. What a season, guys. What a season. And thank you, guys. I love you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Quick point. I got two quick points. So, blame game. I give 50% to OC. I give 40 to Tannehill. And I give 10 to Vrabel. And then quick thing that my original call is about. Everyone talking about mortgaging all the first-round picks just like the Rams. Question, have the Rams won anything yet?
No.
The answer is no. They haven't won anything yet. So all you fans need to start pumping your brakes about mortgaging a future on something that you're saying it's going to happen. No, the Rams haven't won anything. I'm sorry. And that's my call. And tell you no.
And to Kyle's point, I don't know that there's a Matthew Stafford out there that's gettable in the same way. Just so you know, Joe Burrow, 52 of 71 passing in the playoffs, 73.2 completion percentage, the highest rate for somebody in their first two playoff games in NFL history. Also the first player in league history to complete 70% of his passes in each of his first two playoff games. He's a difference maker.
He's averaging 70 on the year regular season.
It's stupid. For Ramon Foster and Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. If you didn't get on, we'll be talking about it tomorrow, and the phones will be wide open at 6 a.m.
They will.
Buck Rising coming up next, then Blaine and Mickey, then 3HL. Just stick with us all day. Nobody's going to have better coverage.
Today, stay away from sharp objects. And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic are always hot.